Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 1. For the text, we'll read verse number 21 through 23. Then also for a companion scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. About 6 years ago, the Lord put a message on my heart. I preached it while I was pastor. And I think about 2006, I don't remember if I preached it again, or I was noticing among my notes that I had started doing some work on this. Be doing a lot of reading tonight. I hope that doesn't bother you.
Blessing God.
But it's information that I feel like the Lord would have us to give you tonight.
Blessing God. Blessing God.
I believe that the religious community of our hour is set for the Lord's return.
Come on.
We're not in the midst of great revival. I'd love to say we was, but you know we're not.
Not true. Not true.
I believe there's revival available for those that will want it and desire it.
Come on.
Jesus said, without any apology, blessed are they which do hunger
right. And
thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
But this is the dilemma that we're facing in the hour we're living in. Humanity in our country is not hungry for revival.
Amen.
The brother can tell you about revival in other countries.
Right.
We can tell you about revival we're experiencing in the prison system.
Right, right.
Where men and women are hungry. Last Sunday, we was in service in a woman's prison in Florida, and the floor was puddled with tears. One young lady just frantically shaking her head in prayer in a room beside the sanctuary. We done broke up, and she hadn't broke up yet, though. But she was breaking up. One other lady thought she had was losing her mind. She called for my wife and the lady chaplain to come in there, attend to this lady. Something's wrong with her. And she's just a sling in her head, and just whatever's coming out of her nose and eyes was coming out. Without getting too graphic here. But she really needed some Kleenexes if anybody needed. But she was screaming, God, crucify me. Crucify me. What was she saying? I'm ready to die that I may live in Christ, that Christ may live in me. When she finally quit praying, she said, I just had to keep on till I got through. She learned the value of praying through. Beloved, tonight it's a precious thing to get in the presence of God and pray until we have prayed through. But we're looking at a very sad, a very deceived religious climate. And this time of the year brings a magnification to the condition of the physical church. What I preach tonight, I don't preach it to rebuke, but to inform.
Amen.
And we'll let the Holy Ghost do the rebuking.
Right.
Matthew 1, 21 and 23, and then 1 Peter 5 and 8.
Amen.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Right.
Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, exhorts us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
I'd like to preach tonight on the subject entitled The Christmas Conflict. As I've already stated this evening, the religious climate of our hour is set for the Lord's return.
Blessing.
The Bible says He'll come back in an hour when you think not.
Amen.
When it's so difficult to find a church in revival this time of the year, of all times of the year,
right,
when so-called celebration is going on concerning God's gift to humanity,
right,
when this is going on, should be the height of revival in our year. When our minds is on the passion and the love of God toward humanity, to give heaven's best, to come to put on the robe of humanity, to suffer humanity's sufferings for the cause of humanity, our minds should be equipped for revival. We should be having revival services, not protracted meetings, but revival services. But churches, you know, already been said tonight, are dismissing services because it's the season. Whose season is this? Is it my season or the season for rejoicing in the love of Almighty God?
Come on.
As the Lord began to deal with me many years, 6 years ago or so, we pulled up in a yard, a driveway, and to the right of this driveway was a Santa Claus display.
Right.
Wasn't one, there was many. A big one, if I can remember right, and several little Santas gathered around. On the other side of the driveway, or the carport, was a manger scene. Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus. Could have been a few little animals gathered around, some wise men probably, some shepherds, the traditional manger scene that we've seen before. And the thought come to my mind, here is a conflict.
Right.
Here is some kind of pulling. Both of these are not telling me the same message.
Right.
Both of these are not saying the same thing to me. The one on my left is saying that God loves humanity.
Right.
That God had a plan of redemption for humanity. It had to come through the dawning of flesh and coming as a child born of a virgin Mary. That's the message of the one on the left. But the one on the right says to me, this is a season for folly. This is a season for me, for number one, to receive something from somebody else. This is a season for deception. When an old man was good in his time years ago to give gifts out, he's giving more honor and attention in this hour than the one who came to give the gift of eternal life to humanity. And that's the scene that that God used to promote my thought for this, the Christmas conflict.
Amen.
Then here's another scene that was gathered up by some research. There's a festive holiday. Evergreen wreaths and a fir tree decorate the house. Children anticipate the gifts they will soon open. These festivities captivates nearly everybody's thoughts and plans as the holiday approaches. It looks a lot like Christmas, doesn't it? The public square reflects the greenery, and the garnish of the season. This is the third week in December. Looks a lot like Christmas. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Looks a lot like Christmas. The calendar reads that it is the year 14 B.C. 14 years before Christ was born. They're already decorating houses with Christmas trees, so to speak. They're already giving gifts one to another. So there's a problem here. There's something, there's a conflict here. It apparently did not start in the manger. Apparently it did not start with the shepherds on the hillside, the wise men 2 years later. What is this? This is called the celebration of Saturnala. In the book, in encyclopedia, in Carter, the Christmas season culminating on December 25th has taken on some of the festal nature of the Saturnalia. It is a Roman holiday celebrated at this time of the year, honoring the god Saturn. Now, we're not narrow-minded tonight to think that all of these Christians today are celebrating Saturnalia. We know they're not.
Blessing God. Blessing.
We know we're not. But keep aware of this wonderful truth that heaven is paying attention to the way we do celebrate the birth of His Son.
Right.
Keep in mind tonight that heaven is opposed to pagan worship.
Right.
Keep in mind tonight that heaven, God of heaven, is opposed to anything that is contrary to His Word.
Amen.
Anything that does not give credit and credibility to His Word. He's opposed to that.
Right.
And He's paying close attention
blessing
to the way we celebrate and acknowledge the birth of His Son.
Right, right.
Speaking of the birth of His Son, that calls for a birthday.
Come on.
And I found three birthdays celebrated. Four in the Word of God. Three were called birthdays and one's a presumption. The birthday of Pharaoh was celebrated. An ungodly man that basically shook his fist in God's face and said, "I will not let your people go."
Come on, man.
The other two was two separate occasions or two separate reflections on the birthday of Herod the king. Another vile man that said, "Kill all." I believe it was the same. Maybe not. It wasn't the same one. But a vile man that succumbed to his adulterous wife, amen, when she wanted John the Baptist's head cut off. That was a birthday celebration. And then Job would pray for his children because at each one of their days they would have a party. But Job apparently did not approve of their partying because he would make sacrifice that if they sinned during that God would forgive them. So it does the church some good, Pastor, when we stop and think and ask ourselves some questions. Why are we doing what we do when we do it in respect to His birthday?
Come on.
No good man's birthday was celebrated in the Word. And we all love to hear it. Happy birthday to you. We all like to get a little present, a green handshake at our birthday. And I'm not condemning birthdays. But yet, I've not been instructed scripturally a whole lot of that.
Come on.
Except the fact that He was born.
Right.
The Bible doesn't expose to us when it was.
Right.
Speculations put it in September or October. The Roman Catholic Church, under the leadership, I believe, of Constantine, decided December 25th would be a good time. But why did he want to make that decision? Could it be because the paganism of the Romans were having their Saturnalia feast on December 25th? And he's had such a zeal that he thought we can win these pagans to Christ if we incorporate their day of celebration into Christmas, into Christ's day of birth, and win them over.
Right.
Beloved, that's about, makes about as much spiritual understanding as incorporating rock and roll music with the words of the Red Bag Hymnal.
We can
use that to reach the young people.
It
makes about as much sense as incorporating putting a bar in the corner of the sanctuary so we can reach the drunkards for Christ.
Come on.
This is done in the name of celebration, and it does us good to bother to ask some questions
right.
Why. You see, when people in the holiness movement begin to want to lean toward the world, they'll start questioning the teachings of holiness. I said they'll start questioning, well, why do our ladies not wear the makeup? Why do our ladies not cut their hair off? Why this? And they're questioning it because they're questioning they either don't want to do it or they don't understand it. But for some reason, they've decided to question this.
Come on now.
But for years and years roll by, we see many things illustrating Christmas that we cannot find in the Word of God, but we do not bother to question it.
Amen.
Why? Because it feels good to our flesh. It appetizes the carnal man because we enjoy it. We'll get in the car and we'll ride for 30 miles to look at the beautiful lights. Yep. It is beautiful. Right. It is marvelous. But I'd like to ride for 3 hours and see the beautiful creation of God. Where He's carved out the mountains and made such a beautiful scene. And how through the providence of God, the leaves will change colors in the fall of the year. Amen. I'm telling you, I get excited about what God's done.
Right.
Man, hang lights all day long. And it's not as beautiful as what God has done. But we don't question these things. We just, it's always been that way.
Bless him, God.
Y'all gonna love me when I get through, I hope. If you don't, like this brother said last night, this older brother at the rehab center where we was preaching at, he's 82 years old. He told one of those men, he said, "Do you love me?" He said, "No," he said, "I love you, Rev." He said, "You better." He said, "Because you got to."
Amen.
Amen. You got to. We don't question these things because it's kind of like the story. And I'll give you this just to kind of give you a little medicine. The Bible says, what is it? Laughter like a medicine. You may have experienced something of this sort. The young lady gets a ham. And I add to stories like this, so I'll put this disclaimer there for my wife. But they said she cut half the ham off and throwed it in the garbage. Husband looks at the waste. He said, "Why did you cut half that ham off and throw it in the garbage?" She said, "I don't know. Mama always did that." So he went to his mother-in-law and says, "Ma, mother-in-law, why have you always cut half the ham off and throw the rest in the garbage?" She said, "I don't know. My mother always done that." So he goes to his mother-in-law's mother, which is, getting up in age, but she's still clear in her mind and all. He says, "Why is it that y'all always cut half the ham off and throw it in the garbage?" She said, "I don't know. My mama always did it that way." So he goes down to the nursing home, the precious mother of all the mothers there. And she's very feeble, but she's still got some crisp memory in her mind. And he said, "I want to ask you something, Granny." "Yeah, sonny boy, what is it?" "You young little whippersnapper, what you want?" He said, "Granny, why is it that y'all always throw half the ham in the garbage?" She says, "That's no big question, sonny boy." Said, "Back then, we couldn't afford a pan big enough. And we didn't have a refrigerator to put the rest of it in. We had to throw it away because the pan wasn't big enough." All these years, they're throwing half the ham away when they could have put it in the refrigerator.
Amen.
Granny did it because she didn't have a way to keep it. And all these years, we've slowly, little by little, watched Santa Claus come in and replace Jesus in so many homes. We watch the trappings and the decorativeness of Christmas come in, not by billboard effect, but very little by little has come in. And as they say in the prison, institutionalize us to be accustomed to it and not even question it.
Right, right.
Of the origin of it. Where did this come from. We've always did it.
Right, right.
Historians are unsure exactly when Christians first began celebrating the Nativity of Christ. However, most scholars believe that Christmas originated in the 4th century as a Christian substitute for the pagan celebrations of the winter solstice. Before the introduction of Christmas each year, beginning on December 17th, Romans honored Saturn, the ancient god of agriculture, in a festival called Saturnala. The festival lasted for 7 days and included the winter solstice, which is usually occurred around December 25th on the ancient Julian calendar. During Saturnala, the Romans feasted, postponed all business and warfare, exchanged gifts, and temporarily freed their slaves. Now, the Romans did better in their pagan worship of Saturnala than we do with our pagan worship of the Lord.
Come on now. Heaven God, heaven God.
I mean, they closed off businesses and warfare. We closed down church.
Amen. Amen. Come on now.
Many Romans also celebrated the lengthening of daylight following the winter solstice by participating in rituals to glorify Mertha, the ancient Persian god of light. These and other winter festivities continued through January 1st and the festival of Calends, when Romans marked the day of the new moon and the first day of the month and year. Although the Gospels describe Jesus' birth in detail, they never mention the date, so historians do not know on what day He was born. Now, this is not something that I've concocted up out of my mind. You can find the same material in the Encarta Encyclopedia. But you see, here's our problem today.
Right.
That that we enjoy, we do not question. That we do not enjoy will question in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Amen.
Years ago, you may have seen it in these parts, but I remember the mentality it seemed of people. I say it seemed to be this way. How a revival, people would come out for revival. It's hard to say that today. But they'd come out. But then if you'd mention Friday night, we're going to have a special mission service. Come out and meet the missionary.
Come on now.
Come out and see his picture of the work they're doing. The mentality was, they're asking for money.
Yeah.
We're not going.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they question, why do we have to have this mission service? We question that we don't enjoy. We accept those things that we do enjoy. But keep in mind, this is the operations of the carnal thinking.
Amen. Amen.
Carnal mind is enmity against God. And it is not subject to the things of God.
Blessing God.
The Roman Catholic Church chose December 25th as the day of the Feast of the Nativity in order to give Christian meaning to existing pagan rituals. I've said already some of this. For example, the church replaced festivities honoring the birth of Mertha, the god of life, with festivities to commemorate the birth of Jesus, whom the Bible calls the light of the world.
Blessing God.
Does it ever cross our minds how more amazed we can get at the lights of Christmas than we do the light of the world?
Amen. Come on.
Come on, brother.
Blessing God.
I cannot envision being born again, being illuminated and rescued from my sins, and not wanting to worship the light of the world.
Amen.
Not raising, as the old saying, you're raising a good stink with that pastor that says we're not having church because it's Christmas. Rather, the church, as the brother said, tells the pastor we're not going to be there. I can understand some may be traveling far and wide to travel to meet with loved ones and friends, only have a few days off to travel. But what about the pastor saying, look, y'all got to be gone? Everybody don't have loved ones far off. If it's two or three gathered together,
hallelujah,
we will have meeting.
Amen.
We will be admiring the light of the world.
Amen.
I can't imagine tonight being overwhelmed at the lights that if the power plant blew up, they'd go off.
Right.
To replace that with the light that's going to lighten the city, that'll need no sun and need no moon to shine in. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is the light.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus is the light.
Blessing God.
After all of this, they hoped to draw the pagans in by mixing it with the day. Over the next 1,000 years, the observance of Christmas followed the expansion of Christianity. It just hooked up to Christianity and started going. Like the caboose on the train, it was just hooked up. And the Christmas traditions just followed as Christianity spread, these traditions spread.
Right.
And therefore, as Christianity spread, paganism spread. And it's a horrible, horrible spreading in our hour.
Amen.
Along the way, Christian beliefs combined with existing pagan feasts and winter rituals to create many long-standing traditions of Christmas celebrations. For example, ancient Europeans believed that the mistletoe plant held magic powers to bestow life and fertility, to bring about peace, and to protect against disease. Northern Europeans associated the plant with the Norse goddess of love, Freya, and developed the custom of kissing underneath the mistletoe branches.
Come on now.
How many kissed your sweetheart under the mistletoe?
Blessing God.
Anybody?
Hey.
Well, bless your heart. You didn't have one or you knew better. It's a great tradition. I didn't kiss my sweetheart under the mistletoe. I sold I couldn't kiss her till I got to the altar.
Come on now.
Thank God for modesty.
Hey.
Huh?
Right.
Thank God for purity. For holiness.
Yeah.
Amen. And honey, I didn't miss a thing by not kissing her before I married her. I don't want to say that wrong. It sounds like I found out there wasn't nothing to it. No, that ain't it. Somebody said, "How you don't know you want to marry if you don't kiss her?" I'm not marrying for kissing.
Come on now.
I'm marrying as an ordinance of God.
Come on.
For companionship, for love, real
right,
love,
right,
lust. During the Reformation of the 16th century, Protestants challenged the authority of the Catholic Church, including its toleration of surviving pagan traditions during Christmas festivities. Scholars, people in the 16th century, scholars, people who studied the Word of God,
right,
who put their life, their mind, their thinking in the Word of God, challenged the Catholic Church and saying, "Why are you doing this? This is not scriptural. This is not biblical. Why are you doing this?"
Amen.
They had not near, quote, the education we have today.
Right, right.
And no doubt didn't have the ability to research and study we have today. But is anybody in high places challenging the church of our hour?
Come on now.
Of why we're doing this?
Come on now.
We're just going along with the flow.
All right.
We're going with the flow.
Because
if we don't go with the flow, we're going to lose some friends. We're going to lose some ties.
Yeah.
We're going to lose a lot of things. No, you're going to gain when you buckle up with God and line up with this Word
true.
Let it be your roadmap.
Yeah. Blessing God.
Puritan banned Christmas. Do y'all know who the Puritans were?
Amen.
There were some holiness folks.
Come on now.
That believed that God's word said purity.
Right.
God's word meant purity.
Right.
That crowd was named Puritans because they were pure in their doctrine and pure in their belief. We've been called Christians so long, I wonder sometimes what people would call us if that name wasn't branded upon this faith.
Come on now. Come on.
I'd be afraid of some of the names that Christianity would be called if it hadn't been so cemented into it today.
Blessing God.
It banned Christmas in England and in some English colonies in North America because they felt it had become a season best known for gambling, flamboyant public behavior, and overindulgence in food.
Come on now.
And drink.
Come on now. Amen.
Have we buy a lot more Rolaids and Tums this time of the year, don't we, beloved?
Bless
we
him.
Make a whole lot of resolutions, y'all pray for them, may be here a while.
Bless him,
we
God.
Make a whole lot of resolutions come New Year's Day to comb that diet, to trim up from the holidays.
Come on now.
And why is it tonight that the rejoicing and celebration of the birth of Christ, that the authorities have to be more on the highways trying to stop drunk driving than any other time of the year?
Come on.
It's because Christmas is not what God intended it to be.
Amen.
The flamboyant behavior of drunkenness have seized upon the hearts and people that have never got an idea who Jesus Christ really is and why He really came is dominating the activities all around us.
Amen. Amen. Blessing God.
Peter said, be sober.
Right, right.
Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
It doesn't matter to him what he uses in his efforts to devour.
Amen.
The book of Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire.
Right, right.
Even a jealous God. Consider again that he is opposed to paganism.
Right.
God is opposed to idolatry. Israel was destroyed. Many were destroyed. The earth opened itself up and swallowed those people because of idolatrous behavior.
Right, right.
And so he's opposed to paganism. He is opposed to every holiday that we use in the name of Christ and we use it in a pagan manner.
Blessing God. Blessing God.
He's opposed to it.
Right, right.
He is a jealous God.
Yes, he is. Yes.
I really don't know the answer to this question, as my wife mentioned.
Bless
Christmas
you.
In heaven. I don't know whether they pay any attention to that.
Right.
Because the Bible is silent there.
Right.
Listen, beloved, the Bible is silent there. And I've learned that where the Bible is silent, I don't need to try to add something.
Come on, that's right.
The Bible speaks plenty where plenty needs to be spoken. So I don't know, but I would wonder if God looks upon all the fanfare and all the celebrations that are empty of heart. He understands the heart of those that don't know any better.
Come on now. Come on.
But so many, when they're illuminated, they cast it aside because we've always done it this way.
Right.
But how does God view what's happening upon this earth when God sees all the activities and He would say, this is to celebrate
right.
the birth of my Son.
Right.
would God say, I don't recall instructing them to do that?
Amen.
I don't recall giving them instructions on this. Why did God not give us instructions?
Right, right.
Think about that, church. Why did God not give us instructions concerning this? Why was God silent?
Blessing.
He gave us the night. He gave us the prophecy.
Right, right.
He's coming.
Amen.
He gave us the event of the birth.
Right.
The announcement of the angels. Yeah. He gave us the visitation of the wise men. Astrologers.
Right.
Studying the stars.
Right.
And God, in His creation, announcing His glory to humanity.
Right.
Moved in all its constellations to show them one formation of a star that moved, and they followed it.
Right.
And they found God's compassionate contribution to society.
Right.
These questions we may never know the answers this side of glory. But may we understand that heaven is paying attention to how we handle the birth of Jesus Christ.
Amen. I believe that.
The psalmist said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion.
Right.
I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee.
Right.
Before the foundations of the world, it was in the foreknowledge of God that Jesus would come. You see, in heaven's point of view, without a doubt, December 25th, or whatever reason it could be that God never gave us an exact date, was that that wasn't not as important to God as the reality was. He's always been here, and right, God decided to send Him on our behalf.
Right.
The important thing is in concerning the Lord's return. Some are post-trib. Some are mid-trib. Some are the other trib. What's the other one? Post-mid-pre. There we go. Pre, post, mid. Amen. The important thing is not whether my theology knows when He's coming. The important thing is He is coming. I believe the weather's right for Him to come tonight. I said, I believe the weather's right for Him to come in this hour we're living in. The important thing is being ready. And the important thing concerning the birth of Jesus Christ tonight is the fact and reality. He did come. He did put on mortal flesh. He did live. He did walk. He did teach. He did go to that cross. He did die on that cross. He did shed His blood for our redemption. He was put in a tomb. He did come out of that tomb. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. And He is alive tonight, making intercession for the saints. The Lord.
Hallelujah tonight. Hallelujah tonight.
Thou art my Son.
Yes.
This day have I begotten thee.
Amen. Amen.
Christmas. I cannot imagine it's much better 6 years later, but in 2004, the most popular Christmas songs from 1 to 10 are these. And this is where our society has given and succumbed to paganism.
Come on now.
The number one song is White Christmas.
Yeah.
Where's Jesus in that?
Come on now.
It's all about snow and our infatuation with the beauty of the time. The Chipmunk song, where's my Lord in that? Number three, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Come on now.
Jesus ain't there either. He's not riding on Rudolph.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. Still missing Jesus.
Right, right.
Number five. Jingle Bell Rock.
Come on now.
Jesus, I've not seen Him yet.
Right, right.
I get heartbroken, Pastor, during the holiday season.
Hey.
I have loved ones that have passed on, love to see them during the holidays, but my heartbreak is that I'm wanting to see Jesus. But He's hard to find.
Ah, true.
He's hard to find outside of in my own heart. Thank God He's there.
Hey.
But I like to see manifestations
among me.
Out and about. Hallelujah. Number six, the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. Everyone is bringing comfort to number one.
Right.
The carnal man, the flesh. Number seven, Snoopy's Christmas. He's a little dog, you know. Charlie Brown's buddy. Number eight, here comes Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus Lane. And the funny thing about Santa Claus is you never hear much out of him till this time of the year.
Right.
Funny thing about Jesus with some folks, you never hear much about him till this time of the year.
Right, right.
See, it is a carnal surrender to carnality.
Right.
I don't know if you're having a Christmas program or not, but had you had one tonight, we'd have had some folks here.
Bless you.
That's not here.
Come on now. Come on.
You'd have some visitors. So we pull at it. If we're spiritual minded at Christmas program, we pull because we know sinners going to be there. But the trouble with the sinners that's going to be there and our pulling for them, the congregation of saints are so carnal minded about the play, about little Sally and little Johnny in their angel and their shepherd and their wise men's outfit, that we don't have enough spirituality about us to realize a sinner could come and get saved in this service tonight. So therefore the spiritual atmosphere is very thin for God to work.
Come on now. I heard that.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Back to the song, the top songs. Top songs means these are what's requested.
Right.
These are what's getting on the charts that people's listening to. Number nine, we're going to get a little sentimental here with this one. We're going to have a tear come and think we've really got spiritual. Little Drummer Boy.
Come on,
man. Don't you love this song? Come, they told me, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, the newborn king to see. There's Jesus.
Yeah.
Praise God, we're getting spiritual. But did Matthew mention a drummer boy
right
over there at the manger scene?
Come on, man.
Did y'all read about Matthew saying there's a little drummer boy came by? What about when the wise men came? Surely the drummer boy was there reading in Luke. Is it there?
Come on now.
It's just as bad to take Scripture and add to it than to not have Scripture at all.
Blessing God. Come
could
on.
Be worse.
Blessing God. Come on.
There's a curse put on us in the book of Revelation if we add to or take away from the word of that prophecy.
Amen.
No, sir. Little Drummer Boy is not a spiritual song. It is out of scriptural context. There was no drummer boy at the manger. There was no drummer boy with the wise men. It makes for a beautiful song. It's got that hook, and I'll be humming it on the way home if I'm not careful.
Come on.
But it doesn't point me to a true image of Christ.
Come on now.
You see, it's geared by the enemy to distract me. Because if the enemy can distract us from scriptural truth, he's on his way to winning and defeating us.
Ah, true.
You've got people listening to country music today that used to wouldn't listen to it
because some hillbilly had put Jesus in one of his country songs, and we get star-eyed thinking it's a spiritual song.
Come on now.
When they don't know Jesus, and it only mentions a little bit to catch you, to pull you in to hearing that, and habitually listening to that, that does not glorify and praise God. Praise the Lord.
Blessing God. Blessing God. Come on.
Number 10. This is Spanish. Tell me if I pronounce it right, brother. Donde esta Santa Claus? Did I say it right?
I don't know where you did or not. Amen. Whatever. What's that? I reckon.
That's what it says. Donde esta Santa Claus? I don't know what the song said, but Santa Claus ain't Jesus.
Amen.
I'm having a good time. I hope y'all tolerating it or having it with me.
Come on, man. Bless
this
you.
Was in 2004.
Right.
I haven't had an opportunity or took it to do research for this year. I'm suspicious it's not any better.
Come on now.
Finally, down the list of top songs, number 30 is Do You Hear What I Hear? Do you hear what I hear? I'd like to ask you, do you hear what I hear?
Blessing God.
Do you see what I see?
Oh.
I want to show you something tonight. Come here, Sister Morgan.
Blessing God.
Praise the Lord. I've got the word Santa here. Can you put it somewhere where they can see it? Can you hold it all? S-A-N-T-A. This is, as we said before, and we know, we're adults, we know there is no Santa Claus today.
Amen.
There was a man that called him Saint Nick, Saint Nicholas, that apparently was very benevolent to take gifts and give them to children. If we could only do that today by the prompting of the Spirit of God.
How true.
And not the prompting of a season.
Right.
But anyway, today Satan has took this image of a good man. And I really believe, if I understand right, that the history of him, that the old saying goes, which we know is not possible, but if the old saying goes, he'd turn over in his grave, jump up and run down the street.
Right.
If he knew what was being paraded in his behalf.
No doubt.
Today. But Satan's took this, and you can take this in and just move it to the end. Do a little arranging. Just go that way. And with the same letters you can spell Santa, you can spell Satan. Does that speak anything to us about the hour we're living in? The rearranging of letters is called an anagram. An anagram to hide secret names or words has long been practiced in the occult. The Jewish Encyclopedia writes of the Jewish occult book called the Kaleba. One of the most well-known anagram in the occult world is the name of Sanat Kumara. Sanat is better known as Satan. Constance Comley writes in her best-selling New Age Exposed, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. They're New Agers. They freely call Sanat Kumara Satan, or rather God. New Age movement is not the church.
Right, right.
The New Age movement is not of God.
Come on.
Gods of the New Age include Sanatan and Sanat Siddhanta. New Agers say each name is concealed anagrammically and are aliases and are an anagram used for occult purposes. Is Santa, the great usurper of Christ's attention at Christmas, an anagram?
Come on now.
Is this the reason that
that it has got so much publicity and is used so much that Christian children are taken into malls and they're set on this man's knee and their pictures took, and they say, well, it's no big thing, it's just Santa. Are they saying in reality and not knowing it, it is Satan? Not the person that's dressed up in the outfit, but the symbol, the representing. You understand tonight that things that represent evil is a connection to evil. And when it connects to evil, it will pull you into evil. And we do not know how gracious God is being to our hour.
Come on now. Amen.
Old Nick is listed among Saint Nick. Old Nick is listed among the fallen angels or devils in the dictionary of fallen angels. That's a New Age book. It is also worthy of noting Santa is Spanish for holy. That's the word for holy in Spanish, Santa. Santa is also from the Latin word sanctus, which means also saintly, holy, or our English word saint, sanctify, comes from Santa. Sounds like Satan is trying to be like the Most High. He sounds like he's trying to do it again.
Right.
Consider these stories and the mythology of Santa Claus. We know that it's not true, but what I'm saying is there is a wind blowing with it. It is a diversion from the Christ. Santa is taught to children today, and there are children that are taught there is a Santa Claus.
Right.
Bar none, no excuses. Here is a Santa Claus. There's a number you can call to check the weather. Y'all may have that number. You can call and check the temperature of wherever you're living, the forecast for the next few days. It started a few days ago, did it last year. They'll give you an update on the location of Santa Claus daily. This is an adult telephone service. Children are not calling that number, checking the weather. They've become so paganized that they even want him to tell adults when Santa's coming. Where is he coming from? He's coming from the mind of Satan. He seems to be eternal because the children are taught that we don't know where he come from. He's just always been. No, Jesus Christ is eternal.
Right.
He's always been.
Right.
They say Santa lives in the north. Santa Claus lives at the North Pole. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. That's where Jesus is. You say everything Jesus is, this propaganda of Santa is duplicating it.
Right.
They say Santa wears red clothing. Jesus in the book of Revelation is clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. He's duplicating Jesus. Santa has white hair in the book of Revelation. Jesus, his head and his hairs were white like wool. Santa flies around giving gifts up in the air, defying gravity. Jesus ascended and gave gifts unto men in Ephesians 4, 7 and 8. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Right.
They say in their song, Santa's coming soon. Our Bible tells us that Jesus is coming soon.
Right.
They teach that Santa is omniscient, that he knows everything. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. You better be good for goodness sake. The song says, but Jesus, his eyes, the eyes of the Lord are in every place.
Right.
He's the one that knows everything. They say Santa seems to be omnipresent because he has the ability to visit over 1 billion homes in a 24-hour period. That's over 1,100 per second. They say he's going everywhere delivering presents. We know better. But the rhetoric of it is diverting the lost from the Christ. Satan seems to be omnipotent, all powerful. While it had to be to carry that many presents,
right?
It had to be. Jesus is all powerful.
Right.
Jesus is all present. Santa has spiritual helpers called elves. A elf is a spirit or the nightmare, a ghost, a hag, or a witch, according to the dictionary. Jesus has angels that helps.
Right.
In the wilderness, they came and they ministered to him. In the shopping malls, etc., when the children are brought in and they're set on his knees, he says, "Have you been good? Have you been bad?" Y'all heard that?
Oh, yeah.
And most of the time, he's not sitting on a bench. He's sitting on a throne. He's going to be like the Most High. They're going to portray him as the Most High. All powerful, all seeing, all knowing, on a throne, dipped in with a vesture dipped in red,
right,
with white hairs. They're going to display him as the Most High is. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Right.
Santa's greeting and salutation is,
come on now.
Somebody tell me. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
In the book of Zechariah, I believe it is, he says, "Ho, ho, I'll bring something to the effect, I'll bring my people from the north."
Right, right.
Ho, the Bible meant, you better listen to what I've got to say. Santa says, ho, ho, ho. And if you listen real closely, you'll find a sense of evil in that voice.
Right, right. Amen. Amen.
Kris Kringle. It's a little jangle news for Santa Claus. They tell me there was a movie, something. I don't know. I don't go to movies. I don't watch them either at the house.
Amen.
Shout amen.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. Kris Kringle is German for little Christ child. Kris Kringle is German for little Christ child. Kris Kringle is a U.S. name for Santa Claus. He's trying to be like the Most High. Derived from the German Christinia, little Christ child.
Bless him.
She shall bring forth,
right,
a son. They shall call his name Jesus.
Right.
One more thing as we close. The Christmas tree. Why have we always put up a Christmas tree? Well, Mama put up one. Why did Mama put up one? Well, Grandma put up one.
Right.
Why did Grandma put up one? Well, Granny put up one. And she really don't know. We've always done it. Put an angel on top.
Blessing.
We spend a lot of money on something we don't even know why we're doing it.
Lord.
Come on. It's hey. Pretty.
Hey.
Well, but why did you do it? Somebody taught somebody. And it's going to go back a long way before you find out where it started. Christmas remains America's favorite holiday.
Oh, yeah.
A religious celebration that transcends the nation's increasingly multicultural society. 83% of the adult residents of the United States, listen, including Jews, they never believed he was the Christ, right?
Amen.
Including Muslims, they don't believe he was the Christ.
Right.
And atheists, they don't even believe in God, much less his son. 83% of the adult residents of the United States, including Jews, Muslims, and atheists, say they put a decorated tree in their homes. Why do we do it?
Heaven, God.
I'm not judging tonight. I'm provoking us to think.
Bless
you. Can you receive that?
Amen.
I'm provoking us to think. 59% say there is no holiday they love more than Christmas.
Bless you.
What percent of our nation knows the Christ?
Happy more.
The present day Christmas tree also goes back to the worship of sacred trees in the ancient Babylonian system. The green evergreen symbolized the incarnate Baal coming to life through the incarnate baby Tammuz. The custom of decorating and worshiping trees spread throughout the known world with the variety of tree used selected according to the natural growth of each area of the world. If the trees that we use are as used in our area was not available, something else would be used. We saw some trees in the yard the other day had a, what was it, painted gold. I don't know what it was. It's a big tree outside, an oak tree, had big old giant Christmas tree ornaments on it. I said, there you go. They decided to have a homemade one and not even dig it up. The Druids worshiped the oak tree. The Egyptians worshiped the palm tree. While in Rome, it was the fir tree. I believe cedar is of the family of the fir, is it? Here's two traditions. One Christmas tradition was that St. Boniface, somewhere around 765 and 755, they called him Winfred, cut down a deciduous tree in the presence of some newly baptized Christians. The tree was an oak, once scarred, once sacred to the former pagans. It miraculously split into four pieces, revealing an evergreen tree growing from the center of the oak stump. This symbolized the death of paganism and the establishment of Christianity. Did that happen? It's just a tradition. Another is that Martin Luther, he was born in 1483, died in 1546, was so impressed by a far scene that he allegedly cut down a small fir tree, took it home, and decorated it with lighted candles. This is probably a myth, because the earliest documented record of a Christmas tree in Germany is dated to almost 60 years after his death. Now, had that been the reason for it, it wouldn't have waited 60 years. Brother, if I do something that impresses everybody to celebrate Christmas week, y'all going to start next year, ain't you?
Bless you. Come on.
Praise the Lord.
Bless you, God.
And she shall bring forth a son.
Right.
And thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be distracted. I want to win the conflict.
Amen.
The Christmas conflict comes to its height every year. And many are losing the conflict.
Right.
But let's be on the winning side.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.